Hello there, this is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us again here on Radio Tyneside, hospital and community radio on 93.6 FM, Hospedia Channel 1 and online. In today's programme, we look at a woman called Mary, Mary of Bethany, who was judged and criticised for her actions by a disciple called Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. However, Jesus tells him to leave her alone, for through his eyes she is doing what is truly beautiful. The chorus of our first song says, "How can you see what your life is worth or where your value lies? You could never see it through the eyes of man. You must look at your life through heaven's eyes." I wonder if you recognise which Disney cartoon this song comes from. If you have grandchildren, you may well know the answer.
A single thread in a tapestry, though its colour brightly shine, can never see its purpose in the pattern of a grand design. And the stone that sits on the very top of the mountain's mighty face doesn't think it's more important than the stones that form the base. So how can you see what your life is worth or where your value lies? You can never see through the eyes of man. You must look at your life. Look at your life through heaven's eyes. A lake of gold in the desert sand is less than a cool fresh spring, and to one lost sheep a shepherd boy is greater than the richest king. If a man loses everything he owns, has he truly lost his worth? Or is it the beginning of a new and brighter birth? So how do you measure the worth of a man in wealth or strength or size? In how much he gained or how much he gained? The answer will come. The answer will come to him who tries to look at his life through heaven's eyes. And that's why we share all we have with you, though there's little to be found. When all you've got is nothing, there's a lot to go around. No life can escape being blown about by the winds of change and chance. And though you never know all the steps, you must learn to join the dance. You must learn to join the dance.
That was Through Heaven's Eyes, sung by Brian Stokes Mitchell. And it was from the cartoon The Prince of Egypt, a cartoon about the life of Moses. I wonder if you knew that answer there. Let's listen to our gospel reading this morning, taken from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume, made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, it says there in verse 1. Here in the home of Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, Jesus was truly at home. It was the place he chose to be 6 days before he died. He knew death was awaiting him in Jerusalem. It's important that we have places in our lives that are bolt holes to us, places we can retreat to be able to be our true selves and recharge our batteries, places where we can unwind with the support and encouragement of family or friends or counsellors. Let's give thanks to God today for those people in our own lives who have the time to befriend and restore us and encourage us on life's journey. Here's one of my favourite songs written by Carol King and sung here by James Taylor. You've got a friend.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, oh, nothing's going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh yeah, baby, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh yes, I will see you again. Winter, spring, summer, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend? People can be so cold, they'll hurt you and desert you. Well, they'll take your soul if you let them. Oh, yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh, baby, about winter, spring, summer, or fall. Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend, yeah. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Oh yeah, yeah, you've got a friend.
An atmosphere of gratitude filled this particular home, for Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. Mary and Martha must have been overwhelmed to witness their brother's return to life. In the story, Lazarus was one of those at table eating with Jesus. It's interesting to read that in verses 10 to 11, there was a plan by the chief priests to kill both Jesus and Lazarus, because many were turning to Jesus because of this miracle. This, of course, helps us see that something amazing really did take place. It says here in verse 2 that Martha served, Lazarus was one of those at table with him, and Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. Each person was playing their part to welcome Jesus and make him feel at home. There's nothing better than to be in the company of people who are positive and encouraging and who care for you. But not far off was someone who was sitting complaining, full of negativity. He was letting his feelings be known in no uncertain terms. This was Judas. In his opinion, such an extravagant gift should have been given to the poor. But even though this may well have been the case, we're told in verse 6 that Judas actually cared nothing for the poor. He was a thief and had been helping himself to the common purse. As Mary lovingly anointed Jesus' feet and dried them with her hair, Judas may even have been embarrassed and uncomfortable by this display of intimacy. Sidney Carter wrote our next song, Said Judas to Mary, in which he tells this story. It's sung here by Neil Moylan.
Said Judas to Mary, now what will you do with your ointment so rich and so rare? I'll pour it all over the feet of the Lord, and I'll wipe it away with my hair, she said. I'll wipe it away with my hair. I'll wipe it away with my hair. Oh Mary, oh Mary, oh think of the poor. This ointment, it could have been sold. And think of the blankets, and think of the bread you could buy with the silver and gold, he said. You could buy with the silver and gold. You could buy. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I'll think of the poor. Tomorrow, she said, not today. For dearer than all of the poor in this world is my love, who is going away, she said. My love, who is going away? My love, who is going away? Said Jesus to Mary, your love is so deep. Today you may do as you I leave with you still, he said. My body, I leave with you still. My body, I leave with you still. The poor are
blankets you give to the poor, you'll find you have given to me, he said. You'll find you have given to me.
Verse 3 tells us that the house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume. This was a pound of expensive perfume made of pure nard, a precious possession and gift. I wonder which possession we treasure most at home. Perhaps it's something that's been handed down to us by a relative, or something very rare or valuable, or perhaps it's a set of something that took us years to collect. Now, we wouldn't consider giving this gift just to anyone, would we? But we might give it away to someone we love or appreciate. Surely in Mary's case, this was her intention, to show Jesus her gratitude and her love. For he had given back to Mary and Martha not only their brother, but also their future and their provider and protector. I just love this next song by Freddie Haylor. And it's called, Oh God, I Love You So.
God, I love you so. And I pray that you'll be with me and you'll guide me to a world so very cold that needs to know your great love for them. So when I'm all alone upon my bed, I dream about your lovely face. All I really want is to be closer to you, God, and to drink in your grace, and to hear your sweet voice, and to be one with God.
Leave her alone, said Jesus in defense of Mary. He had seen her heart and knew her intentions. He must also have sensed that this anointing was the moment of preparation for his death and burial. Perhaps God had led Mary to do this at this precise time that was so close to Jesus' ultimate destiny in Jerusalem. So was this a prophecy enacted out? After all, in a book called Song of Songs, a passage of scripture about the passionate love and devotion between a bride and her beloved, we find the words, while the king was at table, my nard spread its fragrance. I wonder if there's a link here. But Mary's was an act of true love, an act of true worship. What she did was so natural to her. There was no pride, no show, no drawing attention to herself. She had her eyes fixed only on Jesus, and her heart was totally his. She was humility and love personified. Here's a hymn which speaks of giving back to God the love and the life that he has given to us. It's sung by Amy Grant, and it's "O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go."
O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depth its flow may richer, fuller be. O light, followest all my ways, I yield my flickering torch to thee. Borrowed way, that in thy sunshine's glow its day may brighter, fairer be.
There was once a lady who felt so moved in worship one Sunday that she got up and danced during a beautiful hymn. She wanted to express her worship, not with her lips or her heart, but with her whole being. But after the service, she was told she must never do that again, because what she had done was a distraction to others who were trying to worship. Was this a case of Mary and Judas all over again? However other Christians want to express themselves when caught up in worship, whether they raise their arms or they dance or whatever, we shouldn't allow our own focus to shift. Is Jesus saying the same words he said to Judas, "Leave them alone," to any one of us this morning who may have been critical or resentful of others in the past? True worship is something we must aim for each time we meet in Jesus' name, but do we ever truly enter into it? It's a question we can only answer for ourselves. Is our worship true? Is it focused? Is it real? Some find worship difficult for good reasons. I knew a church warden who, on approaching his time for resigning his post, said to me, "I can't wait. Now I'll be able to sit in the congregation and truly worship God." You see, his responsibilities and duties had prevented him fully worshiping God. We should learn to appreciate those who serve in church, the priests, the stewards, the wardens, the musicians and the readers. Through their sacrifice, others can focus their hearts on God. In John 4:23 it says, "Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks." May our lives be a fragrant offering, pleasing to God, as we seek to serve him in today's world, demonstrating our love for him with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. Not just in our churches, but out there in the whole world. Our final hymn today is Michael W. Smith's version of Matt Redman's song, "I'm Coming Back to the Heart of Worship." Bye for now.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and the simply come, longing just to breathe something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.
search much deeper within.
Yeah.